Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
And I give you praise and thanksgiving for what you're doing in us, what you're doing to us, what you're doing for us, what you're doing upon us, and what you are doing through us. In the mighty name of Jesus, I glorify you now. In Jesus' name, all God's people say amen. Glory to God. Now, for some reason, for some reason, I might as well say this. I'm sensing that more are supposed to sow something else. And this is for 2025. More are supposed to sow something else. God is speaking to more people to get involved in this thing, even though the budget has been met. I don't know why. God is speaking to you that you're supposed to do something else. So you make that seed sown, you do your part. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Just obey God. Okay, we've been looking at our subject. Be firm in faith. Be firm in faith. We stated that to be firm means to have, you know, when a person is firm in their faith, it means that they are not going to change their mind, because to be firm is when you talk about the structure, is having this solid, almost unyielding surface or structure. That's to give you an imagery of it. But a firm is making something physically solid. So when we're talking about be firm in faith, and we know faith is a spiritual force, he wants us to become spiritually solid in our faith and about what we believe. To make something physically solid, or to make it resilient, to make it immovable, firm. When a person is firm in their faith, it means that they are not going to change their mind or change their belief. No matter what happens to them, and no matter what goes on around them. By being firm in their faith, they're saying, okay, I'm in control of myself, and I'm going to continue believing what I started out believing, and I am not backing off. They're firm. We stated that being firm is faith. It's being strong and unwavering about the word of God that you're believing. Being strong and unwavering about the word of God that you're believing. We said that being firm in faith is not having weak faith. And it's not being uncertain about your faith. Because we said that to be firm is not to be weak, and it's not to be uncertain. We also stated in this meeting that being firm in faith is not being easily moved. So you're not going to be easily moved by people, places, or things that may be opposing your faith. You're not going to give in to the opposition. You're not going to give in to the opponents. You're not going to give in to the obstacles. You're going to stand your ground. You're going to be firm in faith. We also stated that when you're firm, you're not easily disturbed or easily disrupted. So being firm in faith is not being disturbed about what you don't see, because now you know that the firmness of your faith is causing divine alignment to take place. And then finally, we stated already in this meeting that being firm in faith is being steadfast. It's being steadfast. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know our ability to stand firm on the word of God in the face of discouraging and seemingly hopeless situations determines the manifestations of God's promises. Come on, go with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So when you're firm in faith, you understand that it also causes you to be in divine alignment. And if you're in divine alignment, you must keep your mouth in alignment and your heart in alignment with the word of God. Okay, Romans chapter 1. Let me show you something here to help us understand about being firm in faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, very familiar verse. I'm reading from the King James. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So let's look at this verse again. Verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Come on, translate and meditate. Christ is not Jesus's last name. So it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of the anointed one and his anointing." Why? Because it is the power of God. What is the power of God? The gospel. The gospel, dear hearts, and you know this, is good news. The gospel is good news. But listen, the gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. You remember I referred to this earlier, I believe, in the offering teaching. In 1 Kings 17, with Elijah and the widow woman, in the midst of that famine, Elijah brought that widow woman good news. Listen, his good news came in the form of a request. He said, "Please bring me a little water and a cup that I may drink." And then we know the story. As she was going to get that water, he then called out to her and added to his request, "And please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." That request to that widow woman in the midst of that famine was good news. But listen, the gospel or the good news is unreasonable to the natural mind. To the natural mind, we don't see that request by that man of God as good news. He's asking for her last. That's not good news, so we think. Now, she had water in that famine, but she didn't have bread. Because you know the story. She says, "I don't have but a little oil and a little meal to make some bread so that my son and I can eat it and die." That was where her expectation was. She had water, didn't have bread, but that still didn't change the good news that the prophet had brought her. She even stated, I'm gathering two sticks so I can go in and prepare this flour and this meal for my son." And here's what the prophet told her: "No, you're not going to die. Go and do what you were planning to do, but bring me a cake first." Y'all, to the natural mind, that does not sound like good news. You know, even when we were receiving our offering these 3 nights and me telling you all the budget, to the natural mind, that didn't sound like good news to the upcoming new year, 2025. But it is. That request from that man of God didn't sound like good news, but it was. Listen, the good news that the prophet had for her, it shook her reasoning, but it gave birth to faith. Now, here's what I want you to see, because I'm going to build on this tonight. The woman did not know this prophet. She did not have a relationship with him. But if she was going to turn her situation around, it was going to require for her to become firm in faith, regardless of what her head was telling her, regardless of what her feelings and her emotions were telling her, regardless of what that little meal and that little oil in the cruise was telling her, she was going to have to become firm in faith. Now, that was good news, but it seemed like, what did I say? It seemed like that request from that prophet, it seemed like an opportunity for this widow woman to become offended. Here is what I want you to catch, and this is what happens to people as to why they don't become firm in faith. You see, the way we track good news is different than how God looks at good news, or how the Bible reveals that we're to track good news and catch it. Let me say this again. The way we as human beings, the way we track good news is far different than how God looks at good news, or how the Bible reveals that we're supposed to track good news. Now, here's what you have to catch tonight, to catch this revelation on being firm in faith. The good news that God always reveals is good news from another realm. In the natural, what that prophet requested from the widow seemed unreasonable, but he was making a request from another realm, and she needed to get in alignment with that and make adjustments for that. Watch this. And now as she started moving, she was going to encounter the accuracy of God to bring about the demonstration and fulfill not only this man of God's request, but the unspoken request that she had for her and her son to make it through the famine. A lot of times, we as Christians lean to our natural mind. And put this down in your notes. Put this down in your notes. The gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. The gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. Because how it comes and how it's presented, it doesn't make sense. The gospel to the natural mind is not reasonable. Why, Pastor Mark? Because the mind has not been renewed to be able to receive what God has spoken that he wants to bring to pass. You know, I've been reading from 2 Kings 3, and we're looking at those three kings, and I told you how the king of Israel kept talking negative. Did you notice when in that passage we're reading, after the hand of God came upon the prophet, we didn't hear that king say another word. His unreasonableness couldn't handle what was spoken. And it didn't stop what God confirmed through that man of God. The natural mind in that widow's situation would say, this doesn't make sense. And that's the gospel. And Paul said this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God. And this is how you have to renew your mind. If you're going to be firm in faith, you're going to have to see the word of God as your good news. And when God presents it to you in the form of a request, instead of looking at what you have and you're thinking about what you don't have and what you're not capable of doing and what you don't see and how you're not feeling, you're going to respond in faith. Because watch this. God makes a request to you, but God also supplies the request for you. Come on, somebody. Oh, God. When I responded to God's call to come to Buffalo, to leave Fort Worth, Texas, my entire family, we didn't know what we were getting into. I knew Cheryl was nervous, but I was more nervous because I didn't know what I was bringing my family into. Wait a minute. But God had already deposited on the inside of me what I would require and need to cover my family in this new place. Listen, but it was the request being made to make a demand on what God had already put on the inside of me. If I would have stayed in Fort Worth, I would have never tapped into what I've accessed because it was the don't make sense request, the don't make sense directive that made a demand on what was in me. You follow me? Okay, let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's look at our scriptures that we've been talking about. Go to John 14. Watch this. See, I mentioned this before in this teaching. Many people make the mistake of trying to bring God down to fit their natural mind. And so when they do that, I got to ask you this question. What happens to the power of God when they do that? When they try to bring God down to their perspective, down to fit their natural mind and natural understanding, down to fit their logic and their reason. So what happens to the power of God then? Here's something you got to understand. God is not going to confirm what you think. Come on, you got to see this tonight. God is not going to confirm what you think. You ready? Here's the second thing. God is not going to confirm how you feel. God is not going to confirm how you feel. Here's what you got to understand. God only confirms his word with signs following. I give you praise, Jesus. So many times when many people are facing challenging situations and challenging circumstances, many people are looking for a sense knowledge solution. They're looking for a solution that makes sense to them. And you probably did that this year. Even though you know, God says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, who may prove? You, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. But see, you're not thinking about using Romans 12:2 when you're facing a problem. You think Romans 12:2 is for church. No, Romans 12:2 is for life. It's when you're facing a challenging situation that God wants you to obey that scripture. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't respond like the world. Don't reason like the world. Don't try to bring me down to your understanding. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you have to renew your mind. You have to stop looking for solutions that make sense to you. Stop looking for answers that make sense. The Bible doesn't make sense. The Bible makes faith. When God speaks, he doesn't make sense. When God speaks, he makes faith. That's why Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Excuse me. So some of us this year have still been looking for solutions to problems and solutions to challenges that make sense to us. And that's why your faith wasn't working. That's why your faith couldn't pull in the answer. You can't bring God down to fit your natural mind and natural understanding, because then you forfeit the power of God. Watch this. You should be there at John 14, right? Now, let's look at this. John 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved, excuse me, shall be loved of my Father. One moment. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, excuse me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Look back at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Now, wait a minute. God already knows that he's talking to an imperfect vessel of keeping his word. And he's not going to trust that imperfect vessel, person, I'm talking about you and I, with his word, because he knows we don't know what to do with that word with our lightning fast minds. We don't know fully how to work that word. So he gave us help. See, along with the word and along with talking about he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He didn't leave you and I to ourselves. No. Drop down to verse 26 of John 14. He says this. But the Comforter, who is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you, come on, all things, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. What do you mean, what you said to me? My word. He'll bring it to your remembrance. He's going to teach you how to handle it. He's going to teach you how to walk in it. He's going to teach you how to allow it to govern your life, govern your mind, govern your emotions, because he understands that if you just have the word and you're left to yourself, you'll mess it up. So I've given you a comforter who is the Holy Spirit, my comforter, my teacher, my strengthener, my advocate, my intercessor, my counselor, my standby. That's who he is, the paraclete. The sevenfold aspect ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so he's going to do this for you and I. Now look at John 16. Go, come on, John 16, verses 13 through 15. Look at this. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now he's called the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. Well, we know the truth is the word of God. He's going to guide you into all truth. See, he's not looking for John 14, verse 21 to be fulfilled by yourself. He's given you and I, he's given us assistance. And you have assistance that will help you to become firm in faith. It's not just about your willpower. No, it's about you learning to yield to the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, thank God for the Holy Ghost. So, verse 13 again of John 16. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Wait a minute. Who's he speaking to? You and I. What is this that he's speaking? He's releasing faith in me so that I can have faith to act upon, glory to God, and believe what God has said. Let me give you something. Put this down in your notes. I was driving today, and the Holy Spirit dropped this thought in my heart. You ready? I need a scribe for this. I need a scribe. Everything the Holy Spirit gives you to do is always in agreement with faith. Glory to God. Let me say it again. Everything the Holy Spirit gives you to do is always in agreement with faith. Then put a comma behind that. One more time. Everything the Holy Spirit gives you to do is always in agreement with faith. And then a comma. Here's a rest. Because he is always in agreement and in alignment with the word of God. Again, because he is always in agreement and in alignment with the word of God. So let's say the whole thing. You ready? Watch this. Let's do it. Come on, you read it out loud right where you are. Ready? Let's do it. Everything the Holy Spirit gives you to do is always in agreement with faith. Because he is always in agreement and in alignment with the word of God. You can put an exclamation point after that. And then here's another part. He is the Spirit of truth. We just read that. He is the Spirit of truth. Everything the Holy Spirit gives you to do is always in agreement with faith, because he is always in agreement and in alignment with the word of God. He is the Spirit of truth. Look what we just read, John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He's talking about the word of God. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. What's he hearing? The word of God. He's hearing God speak. And he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you, or reveal it unto you, give it to you in detail. Verse 15, all things, how many things? all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you or make it real to you, because Jesus wants you and I to know what is his is also ours. Glory to God. This is why you can be firm in faith. Hallelujah. So now when you go back and read John 14, go there, come on. Verse 21 through 24, you understand this is not me by myself trying to follow God. I got help. I have the Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Well, having his commandments or his word, that's his truth. And along with his truth, he's given us the spirit of truth. Can you see that? So keeping them is not based upon my will. Keeping them is based upon how I yield to the Holy Spirit. And as I yield and intensify my relationship with the Holy Spirit, I'm also yielding and intensifying my relationship with Jesus. And it is demonstrating my love. Excuse me. Covenant fidelity. My covenant commitment. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Okay, let me show you something. Let's shift here, glory to God, in these last few moments. Watch the shift. Why is this so important? And that's why I was talking to you about understanding the good news. Let me show you something here. We're going to spend time here. What you have to understand, how do I want to say this? Help me, Holy Ghost. Let me give you four powerful points. You ready to write? This is about the Holy Spirit. Because, go with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's go there. Ephesians chapter 3. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the good news of the anointed one and his anointing." Well, where is the anointing? Where is the anointed one? Well, Jesus is on the inside of me. Jesus is on the inside of you. He did not come empty-handed. He came with his power. So you know Ephesians 3:20, the King James Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." So that's why he doesn't want you to try to bring God down to your reason and to your understanding. Because he says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," watch this, "according to the power that worketh in us." So when you try to bring God down to your understanding, this is what I said earlier, you forfeit the power. Where does the power go? It's lost. Because this power that worketh in you is in concert with God's willingness to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Are you listening to me? See, you really got to pay attention. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to hear these three nights over again. Because you have to allow the Holy Ghost to stretch you. And he's not going to stretch you when you got your attention elsewhere, you got your mind on other things, and You have hearted. No, you got to be focused. You got to be intense. And you have to have this intent that you're going to reach for more. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So that's why your mind has to be renewed so that it can be in alignment with this power that's working in you. You got to understand there is a working going on. And along with this working, there is also this training by the Holy Ghost. That's why in John 14, 21, you're not alone. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them is not based upon your willpower. There's this training by the Holy Ghost. So here are the 4 points. Number one, point number one. Now somebody asks, what are these 4 points? These are training by the Holy Spirit, what he's training us in. You ready? Number one, the Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what you see. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what you see. Don't you have, isn't walking by faith living beyond what you see? Yes. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what you see. Now listen, he's training you when you don't feel nothing. He's training you when you don't see nothing. So you can never say again out of your mouth, God isn't moving. What you mean he isn't moving? He's training you. How can you say God isn't moving when he says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them? That's the one that loves me. God is moving. So number one, again, the Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what you see. Number two, the Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what you think. That's why you got to renew your mind, man. The Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what you think. So when you're facing your situation and your challenge, don't become settled on what you're thinking, because the Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what you think. Now, you remember my teaching that I did some time ago on the difference between receiving and possessing? Receiving is done with your spirit. Possessing is done with your physical hands. You got to learn how to receive with your spirit so it can cause you to possess with your hands. And many people confuse it. And they think that when I receive it, oh, that means I got it in my hands. No, when it's in your hands, you possess it. But when it's in your heart, in your spirit, you've received it. The Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what you think. I was talking to Pastor Cheryl this past Sunday. We were talking about the message that I taught on Sunday morning on developing faith. For fruitfulness. And she was talking about it. And so I had a little pouch. And I said, Shirley, you think people are getting it? Do you understand what was said this morning? And she was talking to me about it. And she referred to one of the statements I made. I said, yeah, that's true. I said, but you understand it? And 'cause the statement was something to the fact that when I receive the anointing of fruitfulness, I'll never accept lack, struggle, barrenness again when I receive it. And I just told you that receiving is done with your spirit. So I had a little pouch in my hand. I motioned to her like I was getting ready to toss it to her so she can get ready to catch it. So then I tossed it to her and she caught it. And I said, now who got it? She said, I do. I said, that's how it works. When you have the anointing of fruitfulness, when you catch it, you can never operate in your life ever again like you don't have it. It has to affect your thinking, your talking, your perceiving, your processing, because you got it. See, that's what happens when you receive a spiritual reality. You don't wait for the natural. You're being transformed by the spiritual. This is how you be firm in faith. And it was like a light went on. It hit her. She said, I see it. If I have, she says, to receive something means to actually catch it. And once it's caught, you can never say you don't have it. I said, come on, girl, you got it. I said, that's it. I said, that's the part many Christians miss. Because they're waiting to see something with their natural eyes. They're waiting to feel something with their natural feelings. They're waiting to experience something with their natural life. And they don't know how to catch anything. And she started writing in her journal of what catching and receiving was. I said, you got it. I said, now this will transform your life. And it hit her. When I catch this thing, that means I have received it. And once I have caught it, I am no longer without it. So, let's do this again. Number one, the Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what you see. That means catch it. Number two, the Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what you think. Number three, the Holy Spirit is constantly training you. Are y'all getting that part, constantly training? He doesn't take vacations. We read the verses. The Father, Jesus said, the Father is sending you another comforter. When he comes, he tells us what he does. He doesn't take vacations. I know sometimes you think you're by yourself and you feel alone. That's just a deceptive lie from the adversary. Number three, the Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what somebody else is saying, and that includes the devil. The Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what somebody else is saying, and that includes the devil. So it don't bother me about the naysayers, the critics, those who want to talk about it and say, oh, Mark Robertson, your ministry ain't nothing. Oh, this, and they want to mock and laugh. Listen, they didn't call me. They didn't equip me. They didn't anoint me. They didn't save me. They didn't deliver me. They didn't redeem me. They didn't heal me. They didn't. Are you listening to me? And so you don't listen to the naysayers and you don't listen to the devil. When he sends that negative thought or that negative feeling that you're not going to get your blessing, you're not going to get your answer, you're not going to get your solution. Oh, the worst is going to happen. Oh, the bad is going to happen. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. And then he comes with that one word I always tell y'all that he'll say to you. He say, look, if your faith is working, look. If God is moving, look. No, see, the Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to receive beyond what somebody else is saying, and that includes the devil. And then finally, number four. The Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to walk and live in a dimension of dominion. The Holy Spirit is constantly training you how to walk and live in a dimension of dominion. So now you're going to go into this new year and you're not going to allow anything or anyone to tell you that you can't go any further than where you are right now. What they talking about? God has taken me further. They don't understand the relationship between you and your Heavenly Father. And you don't allow no feeling to convince you. You don't allow no circumstance. No, the Holy Spirit, you got it, is constantly training you how to walk and live in a dimension of dominion. Never allow anything or anyone to tell you that you can't have more than what you have right now. Who said that? When Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is going to take up mine and reveal it to you, show it unto you, manifest it to you. So how much does Jesus have? Everything the Father has. Everything the Father has belongs to Jesus, and everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me, belongs to you and I. Why? We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you have to understand, like God did with my budget on my meetings. He stretched me. The Holy Spirit is always stretching us. And you have to understand that that stretching aspect is part of his alignment. He's not going to leave you where you are. He's going to stretch you. He's going to challenge you. He's going to make a demand on you. Now, I talked about that power, and I'm going to give you some change tonight, I think. Yeah, I'm going to shut it off early tonight. I told you he made a demand on me by having me to leave Fort Worth, Texas, and come to Buffalo, New York. He stretched me. And see, you got to understand, Ephesians 3:20 has depths, D-E-P-T-H-S, depths. It has depths to it. And God doesn't want you to live on the surface of Ephesians 3:20. So the Holy Spirit is constantly training you to see Ephesians 3:20 at another level. I wrote another note for you all. I wrote another note. Watch this. Now, since we're talking about be firm in faith, you understand to become firmer in your muscles, your natural muscles, you must lift weights to do that. That's called resistance training. Okay? And you got to do it consistently. You got to lift consistently to cause the firmness and the increased strength to take place. Would you agree? Stay with me. Well, how do you become firmer spiritually? How do you become firmer in faith, like what we're talking about? You ready to write? Here we go. And because, you know, with my, how I am with alliterations, so it had to come with alliterations, affirmations, awareness, and your actions are how you, quote unquote, lift spiritual truths in the spirit to become firmer, to become stronger, for them to become more real to you. Affirmations, I actually just wanted to say your words. It's through your words, what you say, affirmations. And then number two, your awareness. In other words, your consciousness. What are you aware of? What are you constantly focused on? What are you constantly dwelling on? Remember we read in John 14, our passage, how Jesus says that when you love him, my Father will love you. And we will come and make our abode with you, our home. That's going to be your constant awareness. So you become firmer spiritually through your affirmations, the words you speak. This is why I have you all declare, make faith declarations. We're not making faith declarations to make God do something. We're making faith declarations to constantly speak spiritual reality that we have received. because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We don't make faith confessions and faith declarations to convince us of something. We're making it because we already believe this is my kingdom reality. Affirmations, your words, your awareness, your consciousness, and then your actions, how you respond. My prayer is, my brothers and sisters, that you become more sensitive to yield to the Holy Ghost and watch your responses. Don't be so quick to jump at something when something happens. Take the moment and ask the Holy Spirit, okay, how do you want to handle this? What would you like me to do? Don't just try to take control over your life like you got everything in control and you know what to do to make your life work. Stop for a moment and say, okay, Holy Spirit, this is what I'm facing, and I know you have a solution for me. Have confidence in the Holy Spirit. Have confidence in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Have confidence in Him showing you things to come. Have confidence that He is taking what belongs to Jesus and He is manifesting it and making it real to you, causing you to receive it. He's training you on how to receive it. So affirmations, awareness, and your actions, your responses are how you lift, so to speak, spiritual truths and to cause them to become firmer on the inside of you, firmer in your life. You with me? All right. Glory to God. So tonight, I believe in my heart that the Holy Spirit wants us to know that Ephesians 3:20 doesn't automatically happen. You have to be trained in this. You have to be developed in Ephesians 3:20. You have to want to be equipped by Ephesians 3:20. You have to be developed in Ephesians 3:20, working in your life, and you working this scripture for your life. He that hath my commandments, my words, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, John 14:21. So the Holy Spirit wants us to know that He wants us to live beyond perceived limitations. He wants us to know that He wants us to live beyond circumstantial limitations. He wants us to know that He wants us to live beyond mental limitations. And He wants us to know that He wants us to live beyond financial limitations, as well as living beyond natural limitations. And then finally, the Holy Spirit wants us to know that He wants us to live beyond satanic limitations. And He wants us to know that He wants us to live beyond territorial and regional limitations. That's what I'm getting ready to pray. That your life will go beyond the limitations you faced in 2024. You ready? Let's lift our hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this three-night meeting. Now, you said that you was using it as an impetus for our new year. So, Father, since it's your will and your desire for us to live beyond perceived limitations, give us the strength and the empowerment to do so right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, receive, receive. Come on, just simply say, Lord, I receive that. I receive that power. Lord, since it's your will and your desire for us to live beyond circumstantial limitations, give us the strength and the power to do so right now in the name of Jesus. Receive. Come on, say, Lord, I receive that. I receive that. Lord, since it's your will and your desire for us to live beyond mental limitations, give us the strength and the power to do so now in Jesus' name. Come on, receive it, receive it. Lord, since it's your will and your desire for us to live beyond financial limitations, give us the strength and the power to do so now in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Lord, since it's your will and your desire for us to live beyond natural limitations, give us the strength and the power to do so now in the name of Jesus. Receive it. Lord, since it's your will and your desire for us to live beyond satanic limitations, give us the strength and the power to do so now in the name of Jesus. We receive it, Lord. And Father, since it's your will and your desire for us to live beyond territorial and regional limitations, give us the strength and the power to do so now in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive the outpouring. We receive the overflow. We receive the outflow from the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, we go into 2025 expecting the unusual to take place for us. We expect the unprecedented to take place for us. We expect the unexpected to take place for us. And we fully expect the unfathomable to take place for us in the mighty name of Jesus. And with our hands lifted, we thank you for fresh strength, fresh oil from heaven falling upon us now. All of us in our separate locations. But Father, there is no distance in the realm of the Spirit. I say fresh oil comes upon us now in Jesus' name. As we lift our hands, the presence and power of the Holy Ghost comes upon us. The same way the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 3. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you, Father. And we call for new encounters to take place in 2025. We call for new experiences to take place in 2025. And we call for fresh new elevations to take place in 2025. You're lifting us up above the fray, above the clutter, above the stuff that's been trying to hold people back, hold people down, and hold people out. And its hold has been broken in Jesus' name, never to be repaired again. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Come on, put those hands together. Give God praise. Come on, let's receive it. Just say, Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive it. Lord, I receive. Come on, say, Lord, I receive fresh oil from heaven. Lord, I receive fresh oil from heaven. Now say, Lord, I receive strength in the name of Jesus. I receive power to rise in Jesus' name. We give you praise. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this powerful meeting. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for allowing me to work with you, to partner with you for this meeting. Thank you for what you had me to say. Thank you for every illustration and an example that was spoken to represent you, to glorify you, to magnify you, and to honor you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for a glorious new year. Come on, praise him, somebody. We thank you for a glorious new year. Oh, we give you praise for a glorious new year. Oh, we thank you, hallelujah, for all that will take place because of your glory in 2025, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God, we praise you. Our lives will be different. Huh. We will have better. We will live better. We will do better. We will talk better. We will give better. We will serve better. Hallelujah. We will believe better in 2025. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless your name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.